I got to looking at where we've come so far in our studies of practicing the golden rule. And it looks like tonight and next week will probably be the last sermons on this subject. Now, I'm going to go ahead and quote Matthew 7:12. And then we're also going to look at a few points there in Luke 6 tonight. And I realize that we've done this back and forth, but I think it's important to get our frame of mind right. The Bible says in Matthew 7:12, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now, interestingly enough, in that short verse, the words "do" occur twice in one small phrase. "That men should do to you, do ye even to them." Now, you know what it means to do something. It's action. It's your deeds. And our deeds must be guided and regulated by the golden rule principle. And I thought about this today. So far, we've covered a lot of inward work. Once our internal moral faculties are in line, our thought life, when our mind gets right, and we mind heavenly things, we believe the truth, we acknowledge what's right and holy and pure, and it affects the way we think about everything. And again, if we're really going to practice the principles that Jesus laid out, we've got to really have our mind set on doing the will of God, obeying the commands of God. And then we talked about our attitudes and our affections. And that has to do with not just the mind, how we think, so that we'll have the right kind of attitude, but also the condition of our heart. Our hearts need to be right with God if we're going to be able to deal with people whose hearts are not right with God. Because if you actually preach the gospel to people, it's a stumbling block to them. They don't understand it. It's not religion. It's not good works. I told the guy that I was witnessing to today, you know, it has nothing to do with going to church. It has to do with coming to Christ and having your life transformed. I said, "John, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about outward things or reformation. I'm talking about when the Lord deals with you in grace so much that you want to know Christ more than anything else in the world." And I said, "I'm going to pray that God will bring you to that place." Your heart's got to be changed if you are going to reach out to people, see them where they're at. Jesus told us that the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Why don't we witness? Well, because our hearts grow cold, the love of many grows cold, and we don't obey the command to preach the gospel to every creature. Because we've got to get our heart in the right frame. Because what's the very best thing? As I thought about when I was witnessing to John today, it took me back to the day that Greg Rittenhouse witnessed to me the first time we met. And it something triggered in me the idea, what was the very best thing that that I could have ever received. And that was an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift that you can actually give someone, is to tell them about the saving work, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the power of the blood, the way that God forgives through Jesus Christ, as ye would. What's the best thing that ever happened to you? You were saved by the grace of God. Your heart was changed. Your life was changed. So what's the very best thing you can give to other people if your heart's in it? The message of the gospel. And if we're going to practice this, then our hearts have to be engaged and have a desire to actually tell others and live before others with hearts that are truly set upon obeying God each and every day. And then we dealt with, it's not just our mind, it's not just our heart, our affections, but our will. I personally believe that man's will could be perhaps the most perverted thing about him. I mean, God has gone to such great lengths to show His glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, yet the will of man says, now I don't believe that. I choose to believe that this world came about by blind chance, like they tell you at Harvard and Yale and all these big colleges. They're willfully ignorant. That's the kind of people we deal with on a daily basis. If we're going to practice this principle, then our will must be yielded to the will of God, just like the will of Christ was yielded to the Father when He said, not my will, but thine be done. If you're going to practice the golden rule, there's no room for self. There is no room in service to God for your will to be involved. You've got to surrender it to the will of God Almighty. That's revealed in the Word. So he said, how do I know the will of God? It's in here. This is the will of God. Giving thanksgiving unto God. That's the will of God. Obeying the Word. That's the will of God. And we've got to make a determinate choice each and every day. If our mind's right and our mind is on the right things, if our heart is truly and our affections and desires are fixed upon the Lord and we love Him more than anyone or anything, then I believe that we will make a determinate choice that today is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in Him, and I'm going to say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? What will You have me do? Where will You have me go? What will You have me say? I believe it goes back to this principle of doing unto others by living a life that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ before them. It's the very best thing we can give to this world. It's in darkness. And I wonder sometimes if we ever give much thought to how much we are actually influencing others for good by the way we live our life. Now, this isn't in my notes, but I just thought about it. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And this really covers a lot of the ground that we've gone over. Now, Philippians 2, of course, talks about what Jesus Christ did, how He acted, His deeds. And we're gonna look at this a little bit more. Well, let's just do it right now. How did Christ act? Remember, we're talking about practicing the golden rule in our deeds. So what was His life like? Well, His actions were marked by real sacrifice. Christ voluntarily took upon Himself the pain and punishment of God's wrath so that we would never experience that wrath. Now, we can't do that for others. And there's no way that I can experience somebody else's wrath and make that effectual. I can't take their place. Only Jesus Christ. He's the only one qualified to do it. But you know what I found interesting as I thought about this? That's what Paul prayed about in Romans chapter 10. Now keep your place in Philippians 2 because we're going back here. But listen to the language of Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 9. I think he's applying this golden rule principle. Verse 1, I say the truth, Romans 9, 1. In Christ I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's talking about the ultimate sacrifice. Giving Himself for His kinsmen, His brethren after the flesh. He reiterates that in a little different language, but in chapter 10, verse 1, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See where his heart, he's actually putting into practice. Later on in 2 Timothy 2:10, he said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He was willing to, and read his life, read the accounts of the shipwrecks, the stonings, the beatings, the false trials, the imprisonments. He literally was willing to give up everything for the cause of Christ. In fact, in Philippians, he said, I count all things but dung that I may win Christ. You see, we can't equal what Christ did for us. Because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 3 and 4, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. We're talking about deeds. What Christ actually did. He gave what was most valuable in all the world. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The ultimate sacrifice He was willing to make. We're talking about practicing the golden rule. He gave everything He had. His life, Himself. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's what Christ did for us. And what are we willing to do to practice the golden rule as ambassadors for Christ in His stead? What deeds are we willing to do? Are we willing to be obedient? To be faithful? To have the right kind of testimony before our family, in the workplace, before the world? You see, we're getting down to application. Practicing the golden rule. You got to do something. You can't just talk about religion. You can't just sit in a church pew. You got to do something. You got to live right. You got to do right. This is not just a theoretical exercise. This is our life. How did Christ act? Well, He gave Himself. And He acted unselfishly, freely giving of Himself for others. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. We've read this before. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Now these are all deeds. These are all actions. And took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He freely gave of Himself for others. Even though He was the most wealthy individual in all the world, He owned everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. He was willing to sacrifice it all. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. How rich? We've been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God's opened up the full treasury of sovereign grace and poured out His electing grace, His redeeming grace, His regenerating grace, His sanctifying grace, ultimately His glorifying grace. Provisions every day. This is what Christ gave. Where are we tonight? How are we living our lives before others, in our families? Are we even sacrificial in our own home? Because I really believe that's the touchstone of what love is all about. It's not just an emotion. It's not just something you say at the end of a phone call. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now again, I've got an example of Paul actually applying the deeds of Christ when he said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6:10, he said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. He poured out His life to enrich others. Now, how did Christ act? Well, first and foremost, and again, I'm talking about the deeds. He was completely committed to obedience to the Father's will. Hebrews 10:7 is a quote of a messianic psalm that talks about the Savior who said, "A body hast thou prepared me, I come to do thy will, O God." Now that's how we're to live. I mean, turn over to 1 John chapter 2. You make your profession as a believer in Christ, and you follow Him in baptism, which is signified by burial, dead to your old way of life, that's filled with self-will and selfishness and pride and arrogance. I'm dead to that, and sin. I'm dead to that old way of life. I'm raised to walk in newness of life to do what? To follow Him. To follow Christ. 1 John chapter 2. And look what it says there in verse 4. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." What does walking imply? You're doing something. It's action. And his actions were always marked by honesty and grace. Because he's the truth. John 1 said, "And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's you and I who are in Christ, who are following in His steps, who are actively obeying with our mind, our heart, our will, and it's reflected in our actions. We ought to be full of grace and truth as we deal with a world that is filled with brokenness and sin and deceit. I know I want to give, if the best thing that Greg Rittenhouse could have ever gave me is an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, the best thing you and I can do is truly live a life of active obedience, walking in the ways of God. You see, godliness is all about being more like the Lord Jesus, who said, "I always do those things which please Him, the Father." He said that in John 8:29. And I think that principle is also found in Paul's exhortation to the Colossians when he said to them in Colossians 3:16 and 17, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now listen carefully. "And whatsoever ye do, in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Godliness is internal, and it ought to be reflected externally. The way we live our lives, the way we interact with others, and go back to Luke. I know I told you to stay in Philippians. I'm going to finish there. But go back to Luke. And again, this idea that ye should do, that ye should serve in word and in deed. This involves action. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? But this is practicing. This is the outgrowth of a life that's surrendered to practicing the golden rule as Jesus Christ set forth. Look at verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee. All right? So far, love your enemies. Give to those that ask. Love your enemies, verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Do things with the right motivation without expecting any reciprocal love on their part. And then our motives. Why do we do what we do? Why are we serving the Lord? Why are we practicing the golden rule? It says in verse 35, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the merciful. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. What's your motive? I want to be more like the Lord. I want to be more like the Father. Now to sum this up, I want to show you the application that Paul made in Philippians 2 after he had talked about the mind of Christ, that humility, that love, that compassion, that obedience unto death. Look what he says to us in verse 14, chapter 2. If you're going to practice the golden rule, if you're going to act it out and prove that you love the Lord by your deeds, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Stop complaining. Stop making excuses. Stop arguing with yourself and others why you can't serve the Lord or why you can't. Stop it. Do all things without murmurings. And just don't stop complaining about every little thing that you perceive is not right in your life, that you've been dealt some bad cards. The only thing you and I deserve is hell. We've been given so much more. Now why? Why should we practice this? Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's the activity. Reflecting the glory of Christ as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This is how you practice the golden rule. Now next week, we're going to see what it is to experience the golden rule through practical application in every facet of our life. And you say, how are you going to get that all in one sermon? I don't know, but I'm going to try.